Enthusiasm, the optimism. What are folks thinking about Tennessee right now? And you know, you can play devil's advocate and go, okay, yeah, they went into Lexington, got a win against Kentucky with a team that doesn't have a quarterback. Or you can look at it the fact that after the 1-4 start, you know, here's Tennessee now, one win away from being bowl eligible.
And I would look at it that way. I would also say once you put Jared Garantano in, you were clearly the better team. And I don't think that. I don't know how they're going to handle the quarterback situation moving forward after this week. Right now, I think most people are cautiously optimistic. I think a 7-5 season's on the table. And if you finish the season 7-5 after starting 1-4 like they did, especially with those two losses at the beginning of the season, I think that people will head into next year feeling like, okay, Tennessee's on the right track. And next season, maybe you can take another step to try to knock off one of the big boys. Can you, maybe not Georgia or Alabama, but can you hang with Florida? Can you maybe even beat Florida here in Knoxville next year? That, I think, is where Tennessee fans are right now. If they lose to Missouri, you know, I think not great, but not the end of the world. The key is Tennessee getting to a bowl game after that 1-4 start, and especially losing to Georgia State and BYU. And I think most fans are going to be happy.
Well, and it looks like right now, if the way, I mean, look, A&M could certainly change this if they all of a sudden win two out of their last three, but it looks like A&M, I can give them a win, you know, as far as this week at home against South Carolina. I don't think they're going to beat Georgia and LSU. So you would see a Tennessee team taking care of business, beating Missouri Vanderbilt, an A&M team finishing 7-5. And because A&M played in the Gator Bowl last year, the fact that, you know, if I'm trying to sell the team finish strong, unlike last year against Missouri Vanderbilt, I'm selling them a New Year's Day game in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and let's be real. For the Gator Bowl, they want to sell tickets at the end of the day. Does A&M want to go back there twice in a row? I mean, is that going to fill? Is that something that they can sell to their fan base? Tennessee fans will buy every ticket that's available for that game in Jacksonville, especially with the way that the season started. Now, I will throw in this caveat. If they lose to Vanderbilt, it's all out the window. Everything is. And Jeremy Pruitt enters year three on a scorching on fire seat. So they would need to at least handle their business against Vanderbilt one way or the other. And I really do think it's that. It's if you lose to Missouri, and as long as you beat Vanderbilt and head into bowl, you know, are bowl eligible at 6-6, from there, I think Tennessee fans will say, okay, that's, if you don't screw up at the beginning of the season, that's going to feel like an 8-4 season around here, even though it's 6-6. If you go 7-5 at the end of the season, Tennessee fans will feel great about it. But if he loses that game to Vanderbilt, people will rip the paint off of the walls at Neyland Stadium.
Well, and rightfully so, because if you're talking about knowing where Vanderbilt is right now, knowing the situation Tennessee finds itself in, if you finish the year 6-6, and oh, by the way, four consecutive losses to Vanderbilt, how are you expecting to compete against Georgia and Florida when you can't beat Vanderbilt in the SEC East? And this is being said from the attitude as a Tennessee Vols fan, per se.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. And that's where Tennessee fans are. I mean, so you have to win that game, especially 3 in a row, 5 of 7. You know, we all know the numbers there. That has to stay there. But if you handle your business against Vanderbilt and beat that team, then right now Tennessee's doing something they didn't do a lot under Butch, which is they're beating teams they have better talent than. And they're just winning the me versus you battles all over the field to go beat teams that they're better than. And I do think the quarterback play has helped. The quarterback situation is going to be really interesting, Johnny, because what do you do? I mean, Jared Garantano was so bad for a while and such a liability. You had to put Brian Maurer in with virtually a high school level RPO because that's what he could handle as far as an offensive system. But we saw against Kentucky. Kentucky had that snuffed out. I mean, and you're not going to run that against Missouri. You're not going to run that against Derek Mason. Those are good defensive coaches that are there. So do you continue to let Jared Garantano come in relief the way that you've done that? And if you do that, at some point, Tom, it's going to burn you, right? Because you can't just give away a quarter or two before you decide, I'm going to go to the guy that gives me the best chance to win football games, especially when Juwan Jennings has gone to Jeremy Pruitt and said, Garantano is the guy that needs to start. He gives us the best chance to win football games. Jeremy Pruitt's told the media, Jared Garantano gives us the best chance to win football games. So right now, most people under the work to beat day in, day out, think it will be Brian Maurer again against Missouri. And we'll see how that pays. Right now, everyone's been a good trooper about this and a good soldier about this. We'll see if that continues, if they continue to start Brian Maurer.
Who's making this decision? Is it one of these things where it's being, say, this is what we like to do, and Jeremy Pruitt saying, okay. It's almost like they're giving Brian Maurer every opportunity to win this job because they don't want Garantano in that position.
And I think that maybe they don't want him to get too comfortable. Does that make sense? Jared Garantano, they like the fact that when he's a little more motivated, he seems to get the ball out of his hands a little more quickly and make fewer mistakes. And that's one thing I think that is his Achilles heel with Garantano. He just holds the ball so long. From what I've been told by other quarterbacks watching him, I work with two, and they both said he's just a slow reader. And there are some understanding things that he doesn't quite have, but the biggest thing is it takes him a while to read. Well, he seems to speed his clock up when he knows his job is on the lines. And so I do think some portion of it's that. But let me just throw a scenario out for you. If you're playing Missouri and you decide to start Brian Maurer and Kelly Bryant's back out there, and you fall down 17-3 or 17-7 to Missouri, Garantano comes back, you pull a comeback, but you don't quite win the game.
Right.
What is that culture going to be like in that locker room when Juwan Jennings told the national media last week, told ESPN last week, SEC Network last week, that this guy gives us the best chance to win the football game, and that he went to the coach and said he gives us the best chance to win the football game. When the coach has told him, the local and national media, this guy gives us the best chance to win the football game, and you chose not to start him. So it is Pruitt making the decision. So we'll see how it goes at the end of the day.
Well, and look, Nick Saban talked about this last year when trying to make the decision and not telling anybody whether it's going to be Jalen Hurts or Tua Tagovailoa as the starting QB in week one against Louisville. And the bottom line is one of the things he talks about in that determination is the locker room. And the locker room determines that. You can look at the locker room and see how they respond to Brian Maurer or how they respond to Jarrett Garantano. And if the locker room is telling you Garantano and you're continuing to go to Brian Maurer, and if he puts you in a hole per se, and he cost you that trip to the Gator Bowl, then there's some coaches going to have to be answering some tough questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you continue to play this game, or do you just go ahead and get Jarrett Garantano ready? Because he's the best quarterback that you have, and he's the guy that gives you the best chance to win. And you cannot keep going out there with an RPO that half the high school teams in this town can defend, right? So you just can't do that. So many teams run RPO, and the coaches run RPO well, that having such a low-level kind of RPO and base RPO is just – I just don't see how that's a winning formula the next couple of weeks against Barry Odom and against Derek Mason. So to me, I just don't understand the idea of not going Garantano, but most people think they're going to do the same thing and make Garantano come off of the bench just so he stays a little bit more motivated and there's a fire under his backside.
Having a chance once again to talk a little football with Will West. Last night we got the second poll from the College Football Playoff Committee. And, everybody at this point, you see a lot of folks still wanting 6 or 8 playoff teams. Look, how about the fact that right now, going into mid-November, we've got 11 teams, count them, 11 teams, and only one of the 11 not really playing anybody that's a part of that 11. We got 3 SEC teams still alive, 3 Big Ten, 2 Pac-12, 2 Big 12, and Clemson in the ACC. And all these, a lot of these games are going to be playing each other. They're going to be measured against each other. The only two that don't is Clemson and Alabama. But even Alabama, knowing that contest against Auburn, and Oregon's going to be paying attention to that, and also that committee will be paying attention to that. I think we got exactly what we want. I mean, I can't recall over the 5 previous years this many teams this late in the season. I mean, I think 2 years ago we had 7, and it came out to like somewhat of a semi-playoff thing anyway in the month of November. We've got 11 teams going into this weekend with still national championship aspirations.
Yeah, I think that the biggest issue is the lack of consistency with the explanation that you're getting for why teams are ranked where with the College Football Playoff Committee. Last week it was Penn State's ahead of Clemson because of the strength of schedule. Then Ohio State's ahead of LSU. Well, what about the strength of schedule? Well, we really don't think about the strength of schedule. We look more about the eyeball test, right? And I think because of that inconsistency, and I think there's a fear that some of those teams really honestly don't have a chance to win the to play for the College Football Playoff. I think there's a concern in Big Ten country that Minnesota, if they went out, would not make it there over a 1-loss to Alabama. I mean, I think there's no way in the world that they would do that. But I do think there's a fear there that an undefeated
it's
Baylor.
It's not going to happen with Minnesota, with what they have still, knowing they've got the win against Penn State. What they have to this point, no. But, just like in Ohio State in 2014, they weren't getting into the playoff based on that second week of November. The reason they made the playoff is because what they did in their last 3 games, including the 50-plus shutdown in the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, and the thing is this isn't the BCS. And I think that maybe people have been stuck in that, is our team or our conference's team going to get Auburn's, where Auburn in 04, where they just were started out so far behind the eight ball in the BCS ranking that they never could make up the ground. This is the reason we have the committee. And so if a Baylor that maybe, by the numbers of the analytics doesn't look as good as a one-loss Alabama team, you would put the undefeated Big 12 conference champion in over the one-loss Alabama team that didn't win their division. So I think there's a little fear there, and maybe it's an inferiority complex with some of the other conferences, with the Pac-12, with maybe the Big 10 West, and maybe the Big 12 outside of Oklahoma, that they could get left out and get jobbed on this one because of how highly ranked Alabama is. I also think right now when it comes to the eyeball test, Georgia's not particularly impressive. And because of that, people are questioning what the committee is doing, probably a little more than they should. This is all going to play itself out and work itself out more likely than not.
I mean, Baylor, the reason why the committee is still wait and see on Baylor, they played Stephen F. Austin, Texas San Antonio, and Rice. Those were the three non-conference matchups. And oh, by the way, they escaped against West Virginia. They escaped in triple overtime against TCU. They escaped in double overtime against Texas Tech. They only won by two against Iowa State. Baylor is the reason why Baylor is not ranked higher. It's nothing to do with the committee. That's on Baylor.
Yeah, and Minnesota's the same way, right? Minnesota
absolutely.
Plays one team with the polls.
Absolutely.
They down some teams that we thought might have been better at the beginning of the season. But the early, the first third of the season, Minnesota played close games against teams that weren't particularly good. And then from there, beating down a Nebraska team that it seems like everybody can beat down is incredibly impressive to us right now. It's an impressive job that P.J. Fleck has done. But I just think right now the committee's saying, you're going to have to show it to me that you can go beat an Ohio State before I'm going to jump you into the top four over teams that I know have superstar, maybe two top 10 NFL draft picks on their team.